Vanya.
Hi, Mike Jensen.
You look a little hesitant. Is everything okay on your
end? I'm just looking at the way my sound file's coming in.
It seems fine. It's just not follow. You know how it normally follows? Like the big one?
Right.
It's not doing that. Why aren't you doing that?
Yeah.
But I could see it on the top.
Interesting. So. Yeah, mine is still doing the thing where it, like, it looks like it's so quiet.
I found it.
But I don't know if it's because the new microphone is just like better, so it doesn't have to get as much sound to...
Maybe. Yeah. And because it's been sounding great on the other side.
Yeah, it seems like it's working out. Seems like it's working out fine.
Yeah.
There is a slight chance that we'll be interrupted as we record because... So fun little story about the continuing adventures of my apartment. I had noticed that, like, the sink, when I would turn on the faucet, like, there'd be a little bit of water that would trickle out of, like, the actual, like, below the handle.
Uh-huh.
But I would just kind of, like, move it and it would go away. So it seemed like it was fine. And then I was also noticing as of, like, a week ago that, like, sometimes the mat in front of the sink would be just a little bit damp.
Ruh-roh.
But, like, I would move it. Right. But I would move it and, like, wouldn't notice any... It was just a weird situation. So finally, I was kind of, like, inspecting it. And I was like, oh... My sink is literally, like, dissolving into the earth. Like, one side of it, like, it's starting to tilt to the side. And part of it, like, the wood is beginning to, like, warp. Anyways, so I have alerted management on all of that. So there's a... They've already been here once to look at it. They're obviously going to have to replace the entire unit.
Yeah.
So there's a chance that we'll have a little interruption in this. But we'll see how it goes.
All right.
We'll see how quickly this comes about. But yeah, there you go. How are you doing? How's your week been?
I'm doing great. The week was great. You know, I got to go to Las Vegas with my husband.
Yeah. What was that about?
So it was planned for quite a while back. One of his good friend's wife was set up a birthday, like a surprise birthday for him. So, you know, it's something that, like, we've always wanted to get together with this group, like in the couples, all that, whatever. And we made it work and it was a great experience. It was, I was a little nervous because it's so hot when we were there. It was like 115.
Yeah.
They really keep the AC on pretty good. Obviously, they have to in all of the casinos. But yeah, we stayed at the Bellagio, which was nice. It wasn't like extremely expensive actually, but it wasn't like super cheap because my husband and I have been there a couple times when we were in college. You know, we would stay at like the Flamingo and like the more cheaper ones. Anywho, stayed for two nights. My sister-in-law got to come from New York City and watch the kids. The kids freaking loved it. A good friend of hers came as well. So they went to the Carpinteria. They like had a blast, you know, while we were gone, which was good. But my son was still a little mad at me. He's like, why you gotta go? Why don't you want me to be there? Like, he really couldn't understand why. And I was like, honey, it's important for mom and dad to like have time together and like be, you know, make sure our bond is strong, which actually really helped. You know, I definitely feel it's just so nice to not have to worry about everybody else except for, you know, yourself, the two of you. I think that's definitely, you know, we did a long trip last year because it was our anniversary, but this kind of like short 2-day trip really like rejuvenated my spirit and just like the hope in the world. So I think I need to definitely do that a couple more times. But yeah, we saw, an amazing show called Absinthe, and it's in this tent near, I think, Caesars, but it's a tent outside. It's like a circus tent, and it's Cirque du Soleil-ish, you know, it's like acrobatic, but there's a host that's so funny. It reminded me of like some of the downtown theater I would do, you know, it's just like, and really, really raunchy, not for children, but I highly recommend if you're going to Vegas, go see Absinthe. It's just fun. It's kind of sexy and it's kind of like super dirty. For a second, I had forgotten. And I was like, oh, the kids would love this because my son loves like gymnastics. Well, he thinks he likes the Ninja Warrior stuff, but he really is quite gifted at gymnastics wise. So I was showing him some of the videos and my husband was like, no, are you kidding me? There's a whole part about this like funny character. There's like the main like character who he's like, I own this tent. These people love. And then there's his like little sidekick, which is like an adult woman, but she talks like a baby girl, you know, but she was talking about gangbanging. So yeah, he reminded me of that. And I was like, you're right. That is not for children, but it was super fun. And then we ate good food and like, honestly just spent most of one of the whole days just inside water in the pool and gambled a little, but I didn't really, gamble that much because wasn't as fun. I mean, I've had a lot of fun doing it before, but it was not, it was, I don't know, it was not that fun. And we got up really, because we drove, and thank God we drove, because we went the day that everything shut down, like that big tech outage that happened on Friday across the nation, which is kind of funny. But yeah, we drove, and then leaving, we decided to leave at like 7 a.m., which was a little rough because, you know, we had been enjoying Las Vegas, but we got home in 4 hours. But I've heard that, you know, when, if you leave too late, it could take you 8 hours to get home because everybody's leaving.
Oh, wow.
So we, it was great. It was good. And that's, yeah, that was, I mean, besides working, that was like the fun highlight for sure.
That sounds great. I mean, I feel like so many things, Vegas is kind of like what you bring to it and like what you make of it. Because like when we were there, we stayed for like 4 or 5 nights.
Yeah.
And like we had a blast, but like our job was just to be by the pool every day.
And it was cooler too then. Like it wasn't like, we weren't there in the heat of the
heat. It was hot. Like,
was it? Yeah, I couldn't remember.
It was hot, but it wasn't that hot. It was close to 100 when we were there.
Okay.
Because I remember we were, like, we would like lay in the sun until we couldn't stand it anymore. Yeah. And then we'd get in the pool to cool off and just kind of like go back and forth. So it was hot, but not as hot as it is right now.
Oh my God, it's so hot. It's just like you go outside and it's horrible, horrible. Oh, we also went to, it was right across from our hotel. It's called Ole Red, and it's, what's his name? Blake Shelton's. It's basically like, I think it looks just like his one from Nashville, but he has like a performance venue with food and stuff like that. And it was fun. You know, I love to see live music. So it was just really joyful. The food you probably, well, everything had a gluten-free option everywhere we went. It's like you could totally survive really well. And guess what? We didn't get to go, but there's still a sushi samba in...
Oh, really?
In Las Vegas, which was, it was not as good as Citrus, where Mike used to work, that closed down, but it's got the same vibe. It's like sushi and Brazilian food or something like that, you know?
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's funny. That's fun. I'd love to go back to Vegas someday.
Yeah.
Like, once again, like just to like lounge and be by the pool. Yeah, it's been, I've had a bit of a week. Like it's been, you know, our friend Eric came to visit and he was originally staying in some, he usually stays in my apartment on the couch because the way that my apartment is set up, like the living room is sort of its own separate thing. You don't have to walk through it to get anywhere. So we can kind of like, that can be sort of his room for a few days. But because my apartment had been sort of in disarray, and I also, like, I have roommates, it always feels a little bit like, you know, four of us in the space, then, you know, is it, you know, 33% more people here. But he ended up staying with me for a couple of nights. And it was super fun. Like, it's just fun. Like, we went and saw this like random off-Broadway show that was choreographed by a woman that choreographed, like directed Eric in a play that he did in New York, like literally 20 years ago. Nope, 30 years ago in the 90s.
Whoa.
Yeah. And she, for those that don't know, my friend Eric was in the movie Trick also, which was like Tori Spelling. And I totally can't think of the straight guys' names. But like, it's a super fun movie. It's actually on Amazon right now. You can watch it if you are a subscriber. Yeah, so we actually watched it one of the nights. And it was really, really fun to like watch this film from like, I think it was filmed in like either 97 or 98. But like, there's a little tap number that Tori Spelling does. And this woman, Robin, choreographed that tap number.
Funny.
And so she choreographed this show. It's like its fourth or fifth season of it, like finding a different venue to be in. And it was just fun, like being around creative people and like all these people that have been working in New York for a super long time. It was actually one of the lead guys in the play. It was his birthday on what was supposed to be, we'll get to that later, Eric's last night in the city. Oh. And he ended up having his birthday down at Julius's, which I think is like the oldest running gay bar in New York City.
Cool.
And so I went there and like, you know, I moved to New York in the year 2000, but I'm always sort of jealous of like, you know, Eric got here in I think either 90 or 91, maybe I think I'm saying that correctly. But like, you know, I was in this room with this person that moved here in like 1981.
Wow.
And you just had that thing of like, oh, like to have like experienced New York in those times and to like know what the art scene was like and the theater scene was like. And it was super fun. I met some really cool people. And, you know, it's just
great.
Always that small world of like, I met someone who like worked with someone else I know. Like, anyway, it was a fun sort of like getting to know new people and getting to know, like see new groups of people that like, you know, New York, and I always say this, that everyone acts like New York is the only place that these things happen, but it's such a small world that you meet this person who, like, worked, like, this, the guy that Eric was staying with the first night used to work at a restaurant called Fatty Crab on Broadway, like, around the corner from where Citrus, the restaurant you just mentioned, was. So, like, we, and he, like, bartended at Amsterdam Ale House for, like, a huge, like, he definitely has bartended. Like, I've been at his bar
He's
before.
Given
you know
us
what
drinks.
I mean? Like,
I'm sure of it.
For 100%. Like, it was just that wild thing of, like, the degrees of separation that you find in New York. And then, yeah, so he, his flight ended up being canceled because he was supposed to fly out Friday.
Yeah.
So I was actually at work when he, like, texted a bunch of us of, like, and my flight's canceled. And I was like, all right, I know that this sucks. And, like, I know you want to get home. This is, like, best case scenario, flight getting canceled. You have multiple places to stay.
Yes.
Like, you're not staying in the airport. You're not, you know, living on the street. So he ended up staying with me for two more nights, which was, you know, honestly really fun. And we ended up on the last day that he was here on Sunday. So the flight was changed to Sunday. And so we ended up walking up to the Heights and meeting another friend, Claire, for lunch at a place near where she lives, which was fun because we hadn't gotten to all see each other in a while. And I will say that it was sitting at that restaurant having a wonderful lunch. Oh my gosh, the food was so good. I was like, this is a really cool place. We'll have to go sometime.
Yes.
Is when I got the notification on my watch that Joe Biden had dropped out of the race.
That only a big little, and small little thing that happened.
Only a tiny thing that happened this week, yeah. And I will say, like, my immediate response was just kind of nothing but fear. Very, very nervous. I know
we're used to being
those
afraid all the time, you know?
Yeah, used to the constant fear. I'm feeling much more relaxed about it, which is to say I'm only moderately scared now.
Why are you scared?
I don't know.
I
How are you
great.
Feeling about all of this?
I feel awesome.
Yeah, I mostly feel great. My immediate thought was, God, do I want to live in a country where a woman of color has a better chance than an old white man?
Editor Mike here. I'm horrified that it sounds like I'm asking a question there. The emphasis was meant to be, do I, as in I absolutely want this to be true of this country. I think I clarified this right away, but I couldn't let there even be a moment of doubt as to what my meaning was. Okay, back to the episode.
I want to live in that country. I want to believe that that is a true thing. And I'm getting there. I want to state this up front. For me, Biden was never the lesser of two evils. People were kind of using that phrase and, like, well, people are going to hold their nose and vote for Biden. I was more than happy to give Biden another term. I truly think that he has done amazing things.
Yeah, and he's got a good team around him.
Good team around him. Once again, not nervous he's going to stumble over his words and end democracy. Like, fully supportive of a Biden second term. I'm excited for Kamala, for her, for what's going to happen in the next few months and as we get closer, and whoever she's going to pick to be her running mate. And, you know, a lot of questions are still out there about how this is all going to go down. But I am feeling more relaxed now than I was on Sunday.
Good. I feel great. I don't know. I love her. I think she's awesome. I think the younger generation's going to like her more, too. And I don't know. I just I've just chosen to not look at too much. Because, you know, when you're scrolling through Instagram, it's like people, we're just so used to being like, well, what's the bad thing about it? You know, like, you see both sides all the time, which is fine. It's fine. It's fine. But I'm like, no, I'm just going to be joyful. And I did see a funny meme where it's like, Kamala Harris, she chooses her vice president. It's like Juan Bahama. And it's like, it was Obama with like a mustache, like just a shh, don't tell anybody. Shh.
Oh, right.
No, just kidding. But my mother-in-law is really into, is it Mark Kelly? Whoever, that guy who's like the ex-astronaut and from Arizona or something like that. She really wants him to be the vice president.
Sure.
Or VP.
Yeah,
you know?
I was saying to someone, I'm like, there are a lot of like middle-aged white dudes from swing states that are real excited
right now. Right, yeah.
That's probably how it's going to go. I think that there are some good choices out there. I think that the Arizona is a good choice because we kind of thought that Arizona was firmly in Trump territory. And if we can get someone that can get Arizona, I feel like there's also a senator or governor from, was it from Pennsylvania? I don't know. There are some options out there. And I do think that this does, I mean, whether or not honestly, whether or not you like her, this certainly gives energy. Like, this gives energy. Happy. This gives a buzz. Like, yeah, I feel it makes me happy too. Like I said, I was very nervous right at first.
But you know who should be really nervous is Trump. I think Trump should be really nervous because I think he had a better chance to beat Biden because of all the, you know, I know you had lots of faith in him and that's great, but a lot of people didn't. So now any of those Democrats who were like wavering, they shouldn't be wavering now. So he should be scared. Trump should be scared.
Yeah, I would be very anxious, very excited to watch a debate.
Yeah, me too. She's so smart.
Like Harris and Trump, they would be pretty.
She's a true.
She's super smart.
She's
also
servant.
A effing prosecutor.
Yeah, and that's what I care about. I want someone who really wants to take care of the people. And yes, politics are politics. There's politicians. They're whatever. But like I don't know. I've never felt that like. Okay, for example, I did feel. Even though I was terrified, but when Bush the second one got in, I was terrified when he got in. But I did feel like he thought he was taking care of the people. You know, like, I don't think that Trump really gives a fuck about people.
100% he does not at all.
Yeah.
100%.
So we need a leader who does.
The saddest part of all of it, right, the saddest part of all of it about his followers is how deeply in his thrall they are. When I 100% know that he does not give a fuck about them.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. I'm excited. I feel good. I like her so much, and I think she's wonderful, and I'm just not going to worry about the possibility of any other possibility. I'm just not going to do it.
Okay.
I'm just not doing it because I'm not getting stressed out.
Yeah. I feel the same way. Also, just random note, I'm seeing three movies this week. I'm trying to. I have three nights off. I've been not using my AMC pass enough. So I saw Twisters last night. I told you that I went and saw that. It's really dumb, but it's super fun. Like, I think, like, if just, you'll enjoy it because it's just summer blockbuster,
like
big,
that.
Loud. I sat in, like, the theater where, like, the chairs rumble when anything happened. Yeah. So I did a lot of rumbling. I mean, like, it's just silly. But like, you think about the first one, like, it doesn't really make any sense. Like, what they're trying to do doesn't really make any sense.
It doesn't.
It's worth checking out. I think that it's fun. I don't know if we talked about this. Did we talk about me trying to watch Maxine?
No.
So, but I'm that crazy person who like has to go back and watch the first two before I'll let myself watch it. So I will say that I ended up having to buy X, which was kind of annoying because it had been streaming like 3 days before. And of course, I'm that dummy that bought it for $9.99 instead of renting it for $3.99 because I'm like, what's $6 more? Which isn't a great way to live your life.
It's the way I live my life, too. It's fine.
Yeah. I will say that, like, it's super classic horror film. Yeah. Like, it's almost throwback, and it's like a bunch of people go stay on a farm and, you know, things start happening.
Yeah.
And then I watched Pearl. Pearl, you can still stream on Paramount Plus. And it was funny as I was watching it. I was like, why do I care about this? I don't know. But she's very good. Like, Mia Goth kind of plays the lead character in all of the films. Anyways, I have my ticket to Maxine tonight.
Oh,
I'll be seeing that this evening. So,
I'm excited for you.
So I'll have opinions on that next
week.
Great. And then I think I'm gonna see Long Legs tomorrow.
Oh, goodness. You have to. You have to see it for me because I'm not going to see it. You know, I'm so scared.
Eric said that he thinks that I can handle it. So Eric saw it his first night. That he thinks that, like, I'll be okay. So I'm going to check it out. We'll see how it goes.
Well, I have a recommendation from our friend Daniel. He went and saw a play called Oh Mary.
Okay, yeah.
And it's by Cole Escola, who plays Mary Todd Lincoln. And it's directed by Sam Pinkleton. But the fun thing is, you know, Cole went to the same high school as Daniel. He's a little bit younger, but, like, he kind of knows him. I mean, I think he did the set design for a couple plays that he's done in the past, so... He was telling me, he's like, I'm just so proud of him, and it's like so fun, and the play was so funny, and he sent me this amazing song that they play, like, you know, when you walk in, there's like music entry.
Uh-huh.
And wait, I'm gonna find it. It's a where is she? Where are you? Liza Minnelli song, and it's called Losing My Mind, and the album's Results, and it's very like techno-y. Losing My Mind, Liza Minnelli. It's like 1986 or some crazy thing like that. But I was like, this is that's what he sent me this morning. Sometimes we send each other music and I'm like, this is amazing. Where the hell did this come from? So anyways, I guess they play it at the opening of the play. But yeah, I want to go see that play so bad. So you got to see it for me.
Yeah, Elise saw it off Broadway. and said that it's the funniest thing she's ever seen in her entire life. Like, I have many friends that have seen it, and everyone loves it. I guess I need to get on it. It's a very hard deal. Like, it's an expensive ticket.
Is
like,
it?
It's a limited run. Yeah, it's kind of like a hit right out of the box. So I'll have to see if I can get a ticket for, you know. Like,
it got extended till November.
Oh, did they extend?
Extend till November, yeah. So I'm hoping they'll bring it to LA, but we'll see.
Okay, maybe it'll be easier to get a ticket now. I'll try to check that out for both of us.
Yeah.
So I guess I could just talk about like what I'm digging. My digging's kind of a throwback,
yes,
actually.
It's
not a new thing at all. I think that I mentioned last week that I realized that I didn't own... Oftentimes I'll go to my music collection and be like, oh, I don't own any of this artist anymore. Or like, I don't own these particular albums by this artist. Because from computer to computer, you know, iPod to iPhone, you start losing things.
Yeah.
Like, you just start like, that didn't go to the new computer. So I don't have a lot of early Tori Amos that I don't own anymore. And I was like, oh, I'm just going to buy Little Earthquakes. I'll buy the deluxe edition because it has like live stuff and some B-sides. And Once Upon a Time, and I probably still own the B-side CDs because for, you know, those younger people that might listen, Once Upon a Time, you would go to Tower or Virgin Megastore and go find like an import that would have like a Tori Amos single with like a B-side that you've never heard of before. So,
right. Yes.
Yeah. So I bought the deluxe version, and I will say, man, if you, and it's not talking to you, I know that you know this album.
I love her.
Anyone listening that hasn't listened to the album Little Earthquakes, I forgot. I mean, that album is...
Here we go again.
It's so good. It's so good. And I'm so used to the live versions of it now. And the live versions are often great, like, and often like have a lot of energy. But that the original like orchestrations with like the strings and the brass and the... it's so good. Like, that album is so perfect. Yeah. Anyways, it was such a blast, like, putting on my headphones and like walking along the Hudson and listening to Little Earthquakes, and just like every song I was like, oh right, this is amazing. So that's what I'm digging this week. It's an album from 1992, Little Earthquakes, Tori Amos. If you haven't listened to it, man, check it out. It's so good.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Well, my digging is just, honestly, that show Absinthe was fun because it like... It just reminded me of being a performer. I know I'm not like every single actual act in that was like from all around the world. Like, I think there might have been one act from the US, but it's just like the comedy duo in the beginning. It was so funny. It makes me, I was thinking of shows that I wanted to do. I don't have the time to throw a show up somewhere right now, but I do miss it. I really feel like I miss being on stage in a way where I make people laugh, you know? That's what I've been... I'm digging the inspiration of like, maybe will I do it again? Maybe, I hope. I hope I do perform again. And my sister-in-law reminded me, I forgot, I wrote this song about, and I can't, I have to find it somewhere, but I used to go and perform places, remember? And do stuff and like, it was all like spoof type music, but it was a song about my grandma calling me a whore. Because I had an earring, because I got my ears pierced when I was 13. Uh-huh. I got to find the music. I can't find it. But I was like, oh my God, how did I block that out of my mind? I don't even remember it. I had a great outfit on one of the performances. I looked like June Carter. I had this like amazing like country western like short skirt out. Anyway, the point is.
I feel like I can picture
remember
it. I feel like
when I did
I mean,
that.
I saw that.
And
yeah,
I told
sure.
the story of my grandma. Well, you're a whore. No, what did you say? Well, only if you're a whore. I can't remember. I have to find all the stuff, but I used to do some things, you know, trying to make people laugh, lightening the mood for y'all folks out there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good to be inspired. My do without is kind of, I feel like I'm harping on this one thing because I've talked about not enjoying it already, but I'm just going to, this is the last time I'll mention it. And that is 7 episodes into the 10 episode run of the miniseries The Curse.
Okay.
The only reason why, and listen, I'm not, it's not bad. It's just me. It's not it, it's me. Like, I knew from the previews and like listening to review, I was like, I'm not going to enjoy this TV series. Like, I knew that I wasn't really going to. It's not my vibe. I don't like the awkward thing. I don't like the people kind of being awful and pretend. Like, I just knew that it was going to be uncomfortable. But I was like, it's going to be nominated for some Emmys, so I should just get ahead of it. Guess how many Emmys it's nominated for?
Oh, no, Mike. How many?
Zero. Zero. None at all.
You should have gone. You should have honored yourself and said, like, no. Well, there you go.
So I watched the. I'm like, I'm going to finish it. There are like two episodes left. So.
Oh my God, how funny.
I'm just annoyed, but
that
it's fine.
That is annoying. Well, what I could do without is just feeling obligated when you have to finish something. Well, I finally finished Curb Your Enthusiasm. And actually, the last two episodes were pretty funny, but it was a drudge. It was a drudge, a dredge. I don't know. It was like trying to get through it, man. It was rough for me. I know a lot of people love that, but it's not it's just not relaxing for me. So
I can't watch it.
There you have it. You know, yeah. I'm sort of similar on that.
Did you ever watch more of The Bear? Have you continued?
We're going to, but I have not. No. I was like, I can only hate watch one thing at a time at night. You
I
know?
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Not hate watch, but you know what I mean? Like rape watch, face force. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking.
I like it. So then for our topic, I was thinking about this, and I know we've talked about scary movies before, but it was interesting at the theater yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
How many previews were for scary movies coming up?
Yeah.
Do you think there are more of them? I was trying to figure out if there's something about like the world we're living in right now that like mm-hmm. is inspiring people to write more horror film to maybe like Absolutely. Get us out of the horror film that we're living through right now.
Yeah, for sure. And I did notice that as well when I went to go see Maxine. Right? There's like, what is it? Who's in one? Brandy. Brandy's in a movie that's coming up where she's like, anyways, there's a bunch of the different horror movies, and it's like the old kind of horror movies, you know, not so much. Well, I guess it ranges, but no, I completely agree with you. It definitely seems like there's more. They're always people are always trying to make horror movies because generally you could do it on like a lower budget, and if it can make a lot of money, you know,
right?
Not always if you do CGI yeah. and stuff, but like so. Right. And we've been a part of that genre world for the last, you know, 20 years basically, because those are the kind of movies that my husband would make, and you and I both, Mike, have been featured little actors in there here and there. So yeah, but I definitely feel like I'm seeing more coming out, and it's actually in a weird way the genre that you're gonna see tonight is the kind that I can handle. Mm-hmm. But there is, you know, definitely I've definitely had my life ruined by them as a child, you know.
My problem with horror films, because I as a child and into my teenage years, loved horror movies. Like, I was that guy that would just go to the video store. I went through all the Friday the 13th. I went through all the Nightmare on Elm Streets. Like, yeah. I would pick, like, this is a weird, like, I'm going to watch this weird movie and like, just anything. Like, I was really, really into them. I think for me, I know that the term has been tossed around a bit, but it was the whole torture porn of it. It became that thing where, like, it was just about being gross or something being really painful. And, like, that's not enjoyable for me to watch. Like, I don't like that. So,
yeah.
When it comes to like like, I love the Scream movies and even
those are great.
Till recently. Right. And I think the only thing about like a Long Legs is just that it looks so like aggressively terrifying.
Yeah.
But I guess that's what a preview is supposed to do. Like even watching the preview for that movie Smile 2, I never saw Smile, so I don't really know what it is, but like it's disturbing to watch it. And obviously that's on purpose because that's going to draw some people in.
Yeah.
And I can't deal with the like strangers in my house of it all, you know, like.
Sure.
Like. Did your husband worked on the movie Funny Games, right? Wasn't it like one of the first things that he worked on?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yes.
I cannot watch it. Like, I have no...
Yeah,
there's no way
that
I could watch that movie. Like, it absolutely, like, is just... It's too awful for me. So, yeah, I was just thinking... And I don't know if it's partly because you start seeing your own mortality. So, watching people get murdered in movies isn't as
Maybe, like, as you get a little bit older and whatnot...
Yeah.
You know, I have a little bit, I'm a little sensitive, you know, like, so things stick with me longer and I can't, it's almost like I have intrusive thoughts, or maybe it's just like the thoughts that don't, they just keep coming up in my head. Like, this is not a horror movie, but we were listening, it was kind of fun driving without children. We listened to like a true crime podcast about sexpionage, and I'll have to find out what it's called, but it's a fascinating series about podcast, and she you know speaks about a like she gets raped sexually assaulted like a couple times. And I could not, throughout the whole weekend, it kept coming up in my head. So that's what happens to me with certain horror movies too. Even though it's not real, I keep thinking about like the most disturbing moment. It just keeps coming up into my head, you know? And then I get re-traumatized by it. So that's why I've not always been like a super fan. Like I need it to feel like it's just far enough, like that it's not reality. And not that, like, but the we watch The Witches or The Witch when, you know,
right.
And it's that's set back in the colonial days or whatever. But still, with the just the tone, the darkness, everything, those things really stay with me. And I don't know why that is, but I can't get it out of my being. So for me to really enjoy one, it can't stick with me like that. Like, you know, right. I just get so jealous of people who just like can enjoy it. And then they're on, that's everything's great. And I'm like, can't. I keep talking about it to Adam and he's like, uh-huh. Yeah, I just, that's how I feel. But I do know, and I've mentioned this before, but Larry Fessenden, who is the, he owns Glass Eye Picks, which is a horror production company. We went to this like convention. It was like a horror convention and he was speaking and he was talking about the reason he makes horror movies, so many of them, tons of like B movies, and he's an actor in bigger movies. Actually, he has a part, you'll see him in Maxine. He said he loves to make these movies because he was such a scared kid. He was so freaked out, and this is how he processes that. And I thought, well, that's really, I think that's cool. You know, I like that idea, but yeah, I can't watch the shit that really is super dark. I guess the inside your house stuff too is pretty much not for me either.
Can I want to tell one quick story because you just reminded me of it, because this is my this is how like my like OCD brain works. This is where it comes into play. And it reminds me of you just not being able to go to that. So when I was waiting, there was a moment when like Eric was went and had lunch with someone else. And I was like, well, you go have lunch. Like I'm going to go listen to Tori and like walk around. And I was walking out to like Little Island, which is that weird sort of island that like Dion von Furstenberg and her husband built off onto the Hudson, where it's like all these weird like pods and you're like over the water. And I was walking to go to it on this little bridge, and a family stopped me, a family of three, and the mother was like, could you take our picture? And I was like, yeah, of course I'll take your picture.
Like,
and
no.
I took a few of them. But here's the thing, this is my brain, this is an issue that I have. These are my intrusive thoughts. All I could think was, I could throw this camera, I could throw this phone into the water and ruin their life. Like I could like ruin their day. I don't know if they're on a trip. I would ruin their trip if they are. I didn't do it. I'm not a monster. Like I took the pictures and gave the phone back. Vanya, hours later, I was so upset at the idea that I could have thrown this phone. Someone else, as I'm standing there so upset, another person comes up and is like, could you take our picture? And I wanted to be like, you don't know what I could do. Like, you don't know what a monster I could be. And I didn't like, but that is such a weird thing in my brain that I, for hours, I was like almost crying, thinking about how horrible it would have been if I had thrown their phone in the water. God. There you go. Yeah. That's Mike's brain. That's how Mike's brain works.
These little earthquakes. Here they
all
come again.
All these little earthquakes. Here we go again. So there you
God
go.
Any, damn
that was pretty
it
random, but I do have another random thing. Do you have anything random
Please,
for us this week?
Give it
week
to me. I don't have a random thing.
This is just like a fun random thing that I was kind of, that I was like, this is sort of wild. But you know, 4 years ago, speaking of the Emmy nominations having come out, and I'm so happy that Maya Rudolph got nominated for Loot, because I love that show so much and she's so funny on it. So I'm so glad that it got some attention. But you know, 4 years ago, Maya Rudolph had no Emmys, zero. Now, 4 years later, she has five. She
wow
has five Emmys that she has won in 4 years. And wow, this year alone, she is nominated four more times.
Wow. For what?
Isn't that wild?
Yes, that's amazing.
For voiceover for Big Mouth.
Oh, yeah.
For actress in a comedy for Loot. For guest actress for hosting Saturday Night Live. And for co-writing I'm Your Mother.
Mother. I love it.
Isn't that fun? I just love her. We both love her so much.
She's
we talk about her a lot on this show.
She's the best.
Like, I'm just like, good for her. Like, she's been successful for so long. And for this to, like, happen now, I just think is super awesome. So that's all. That's
know
a random thing.
Well, listen, I hope she's cleared her calendar for the next 4 years, because she's going to be playing our next
more
president.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
How
saying it.
How fun is that? Ooh, you know that she has to be excited.
Yes.
Yes. So here we go. Bring on more Maya Rudolph, please.
Yes, please.
All right, awesome. Let's get you going so you can get your work done.
Thank you so much.
We found time to carve out to have a conversation. I love you so much.
I love you so much. All right,
we'll talk later. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex in the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores, and email us at MikeandVanyaCan'tNot@gmail. We'll be back next week. Enough for you, I crucify myself.